gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John O'Lobster. The Marvel Cinematic Universe ventures to the secretive nation of Wakanda to witness the coronation of T'Challa as the new king. But because this is the MCU, a bad guy shows up with a world-threatening plot and chaos ensues. Fruitvale Station and Creed director Ryan Coogler helms an all-star cast in one of the most successful Marvel movies to date, and it only came out like a week ago. And it is literally number 3 right now in the MCU chart.
That is awesome. I think that's amazing.
Gentlemen, did you go to the movie theater and see Black Panther?
Yes.
Day three, yes.
I saw it. Yeah, I saw it last weekend. Unfortunately, I didn't get to go opening weekend.
Yeah, weekend two.
But you could barely get into the cinemas weekend one if you didn't have your tickets way ahead of time. This was one of the best pre-sales that Fandango ever recorded, and theaters were packed, and it ended up with the, what did we say, the second largest opening weekend?
Yeah.
Third largest behind, whatchamacallit? Oh, no, it passed, second largest behind Force Awakens, so.
In between two Star Wars, in a Star Wars sandwich.
Yeah, in a Star Wars sandwich in the top five of films owned by Disney.
Well, no. Technically, I mean, it's a Black Panther sandwich on Star Wars bread. Because you don't really call a ham sandwich a bread, you know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Yeah.
But no, this
There's a light side, a dark side, and a black center.
I didn't know what to expect going into this, but just the...
Yeah, let's start there. I mean, we met T'Challa briefly in Civil War, so what were your expectations going in? What did you know about the character? What was your background knowledge that you kind of built your expectations on?
My lack of comic book knowledge told me nothing. So just the stuff we got in Civil War, I got a little bit there from us talking about it and maybe Op and Wing talking about him years ago, but it was never a lot. So I went into this completely naked, no expectations, not naked. I had clothes on.
A vibranium pajamas.
Vibranium hammock. But I like just right away the costume and the costume design and the sets and everything was so vibrantly colored. And I bought in right away. Their own dialect, because the country's never been ruled, or what's the word I'm looking for?
Colonized.
Thank you. Colonizers. I love.
Don't scare me, colonizer.
I love Princess Suri. I love her. She's probably my favorite character in this.
Yeah.
Wing.
Yes.
He's going to shit on it.
Black Panther. What'd you know going in?
I know a lot of Black Panther, actually. Okay. And that's kind of fun because the movie weaves that pretty well. So you're at some point in the middle of the movie, I'm like, wow, all his allies are villain. Either this movie's turning to shit or the next movie are going to get interesting.
Yeah.
But as much as this movie is well done and as... is important and all of what is happening to it.
Uh-huh.
When it finished, I was like, well, it's another Marvel movie.
We're not talking about when it finished. We're talking about before you saw it. What was your expectation? What was a good Black Panther movie going to be for you? Because we'll get to your shitty opinion at the end, but
give
us time to build up to it so we can prove you wrong.
I didn't have too much expectation because I wanted Ryan Coogler to do something very different. So I was expecting, I don't know.
But you know Marvel's not going to do that. Well, I guess they're all the same company now. But just like you know, Star Wars isn't really going to give you a super unknown quantity anymore.
Well, yeah. I think they did with the Last Jedi, and that made a lot of people mad. My expectation
but
going
I should
in,
have one, seen it the first weekend.
One of the things that I have really based my understanding and knowledge of the Black Panther on is a fantastic animated series that came out about 8 years ago. And it was very adult oriented. It was kind of done in a motion comic style. It was this, they called it Marvel Knights, and it was released on BET, and it was legit. So, Jamon Honsu voiced T'Challa, they had Kerry Washington as Suri, and they fleshed out the cast with a whole ton of awesome people. It opens with the Black Panther in 1944 kicking Captain America's ass.
Nice.
And you find out that that is then the grandfather of T'Challa. And like it just goes from there, and it's awesome. And they bring in Juggernaut and Batroc the Leaper and Storm and Wolverine and Deathlok, and it is fantastic. And of course, you have characters in there that you see in the movie. So that was kind of my kind of basis and my education for Black Panther. And so I really wanted to see that fleshed out on the big screen. And this movie, like we said, looks amazing. And something I think that they were really able to do was make Wakanda this cool futuristic place, not Asgard. It's very clearly Africa and not some other place. I did not expect to go to Oakland, and I think that's where Ryan Coogler kind of puts his spin on it. And I think I was not expecting what Eric Killmonger Stevens brought to the movie. Like I
thought he saw was
a little bit of that in the trailer, and I'm like, okay, this could be interesting. But I mean, talk about a breakout performance. And we've kind of teased about the Fantastic Four movie and how Michael B. Jordan and pretty much everyone in that movie got the shaft. But seeing, and we're like, okay, they need to redeem themselves in the MCU, and we're already seeing that here. But yeah, so I was impressed. I was kind of like, the more that I think about the movie and the what the movie said, I'm more, you know, kind of in awe of what it does. But at first blush, I had a reaction a lot like Nightwing's, which was, okay, it's another MCU origin movie. And there's very, very clear parallels to other MCU films. And at the end of it, you kind of go, okay, it does almost a paint by numbers, but there's so much more going on that I think we can talk about.
I think you're both right on that aspect. It does feel kind of at the end, it is another Marvel movie, but it's a known quantity. That's what you get. It's got so many other dynamic aspects to it, which make it more than just a normal Marvel movie. But probably the best villain other than Loki, maybe? I say that?
And I would have almost said the next Loki if they went a different way at the end.
We're talking about Claw, right?
No.
God, no. We're talking about Killmonger.
Jordan. Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger.
Except for, okay, there's some stuff that I don't understand. He did become a normal shitty villain a little bit at the end, where he completely forgot about everything. But before that, he's fleshed out. He has a reason for doing what he's doing. Yeah. You understand why he's doing it.
Yeah.
And then how did he find Wakanda, though? I don't get that.
Well, he had his father's books that explained. Like that was the knowledge that was kind of left behind.
Because he told Claw, tell me how to get there, and then he shot him, and then he was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
His
performance is very, very good, but I don't think the character is that well written. Everybody's saying that best since Loki. I don't think so. I think Loki is very, very good.
But I don't think Loki in Thor was what we think of Loki now. You think of him in Avengers, you think of him, I mean, we just obviously just watched Thor Ragnarok. So that relationship changes, it evolves. Let's do Get Help. I hate Get Help. Come on, it's great.
It's great for you.
Humiliating for me.
He was more a normal dude. He didn't have a bunch of superpowers. He was just a badass mercenary that had a vendetta.
Yeah, basically.
And I would compare him to the Joker in The Dark Knight. Like that was my comparison with him, because he's an agent of chaos, and he wants to, like, he has a goal, but his goal is that he's going to burn it all down. And whatever the establishment is, whatever the power is, he wants to take it down. But he doesn't want to take it down and create a utopia. He wants to tear it down and replace it with his empire because he thinks he can do it better.
What about the Royal Guard? The all-female...
The Dora Milaje.
Oh, my God. And having... is that Danny Guedetta, right?
Yeah,
she is. I love her. And then you see her like in that bar scene or whatever, the casino. She's spinning that staff and throwing her wig. So good.
Yeah. Again, I think I said at the beginning, this is an all-star cast. I think the unknown in this one was Letitia Wright, and I don't think as Shuri. And I think this movie has made her a star.
But see, I knew her from...
Yeah, I don't think she...
You knew her from Black Mirror. Yeah.
But I also knew her from the second season of BBC's Humans. She was in that. So Black Mirror was kind of a second helping of her. I loved her in this. Like I said at the beginning, she was probably my favorite character in this. Just how she is so bubbly and fun, ready to help her brother. The relationship they have is phenomenal. She's basically Iron Man. She could be the next Iron Man.
Yeah. Or she's Rocket cute. Raccoon. She can make anything. They can have a make-off who can make the coolest thing.
She basically had hand blasters.
Yeah. She literally is working in a cave with a box of scrap.
But I think her scrap is pretty good.
Yeah, the scrap is vibranium.
Yeah,
so you
but
can do
still,
a lot
it is technically... Yeah. That is the scrap bin over there. I'll bet you they have one in Wakanda.
Yeah. And I mean, Lupita Nyong'o, I absolutely love in everything she's in. And it's in a lot of roles that she's done recently.
Who is she?
Nakia.
That's like his girlfriend, love interest.
Crazy girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah. Who's the spy. And she, unfortunately, has been in a lot of mocap recently, so we haven't really seen her. We saw her in Star Wars, we saw her in The Jungle Book, but we haven't really seen her on screen in a bit. So it was nice to see her in the flesh.
She's so good.
I mean, Angela Bassett, Forest Whitaker, fleshing out the cast, Daniel Kaluuya, who we saw just the other day, right? In Sicario.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And of course, from Get Out, I mean, he's a big star now. So, I mean, I think one of the funny things with this movie is these movies have been in production. This has been in production for 2 years, and the script was written when Obama was still president. So, everything that we're reading into it as topical and political, like they were writing it from a different lens, but so much of it you can read into current events. Certainly, like, we don't want the refugees. They're just going to bring their problems. We don't want to open ourselves up to the world. All of that. And then kind of what comes after talking to the UN. You know, what can you teach us? You're just a bunch of shepherds.
So great. I expected there to be another, like, cut scene where they, like, uncloak a ship right at the end or something crazy right in front of the whole UN, and that guy's jaw just hits the floor.
Well, it's a lot like the end of Iron Man.
Where he goes, and I am Iron Man.
I am Iron Man.
But that's cool because you leave that problem to the next movie, which is not yours.
Yeah, no, Coogler's going to come back. I don't think they're going to, like...
I mean, yes, but this movie still going to happen after Avengers, so he's going to be like, okay, how did you figure this shit out? Okay, sure, okay, let's keep going. So,
Do you think there's a possibility of Suri suiting up with her brother in a Black Panther movie?
She becomes...
I mean, in the comics, she becomes Black Panther.
Right,
so.
But that's...
the sister, yeah.
Further down. That's... Yeah. You know,
his girlfriend becomes, like, Malice.
Yeah, she becomes evil. Yeah. Or she is evil.
The big guy that the
Baku.
M'Baku, yeah.
Becomes Man-Ape.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of their friends are bad guys, basically.
Yeah,
it's absurd. But it's cool. I really think that the arc of the film, it really kind of fits so neatly as a self-contained story. I was obviously expecting a lot of, Infinity War is coming up.
Right.
This is kind of their last setup for that. I am really, really happy that they did not.
There's none of that.
Yeah, they did not do an Iron Man 2. They did not do an Age of Ultron.
They don't touch on anything, do they?
Yeah.
There's not none of that, but there's very little of that, and it's well spaced.
It is to the point where if you're not paying attention, you would miss at the very beginning. They have on TV revealing that Baron Zemo was behind the attack on the UN. Like very, very little. There's like one line about fixing another broken white boy.
That I did pick up on, and I figured and right away, Bucky. Yeah.
And I was expecting more Bucky, to be honest.
I was too, but I'm glad.
They made me wait for it.
Yeah, wait till the shawarma.
I love that because, like I said, there is really nothing that overtly slaps you in the face about everything else in the MCU. It's just, here's a decent movie, have fun with it.
It's all about Wakanda and vibranium and building the culture, building the world of Wakanda.
And the casino from Skyfall.
The suits are so awesome, though.
Is this a Bond movie?
Yes.
Because the way that Marvel pitched this to Ryan Coogler was, we want Black Panther to be our James Bond.
Well, they got that.
Yeah, they got it right, I think. So, Sirius Q, you have the scene in the lab where it's, okay, now pay attention. And they go through all the gadgets, some of which kind of come back. Unfortunately, the sneakers. There's never a scene where he like sneaks up on someone.
Do you think there is and they cut it for time?
I don't know, maybe, I guess.
He says the first cut is was 3.5 hours. So
4 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So, yeah. What are those? Why are your toes out in my lab? And then, of course, filming him when he kicks the mannequin and then it kicks back.
So did we just open the door to have Iron Man armor and his watch? I mean,
with the nanites?
He has a suit in a collar.
A lot of speculation is that the armor in Infinity War is the Bleeding Edge armor that comes out of his bones.
What does that mean?
So in the Iron Man comics, Tony Stark fully integrates himself with his armor.
Okay.
So not only is the armor stored in hollows of his bones and like comes out through his pores, that he also like upgrades his mind. So his mind can literally connect with satellites and the internet and all kinds of stuff. So he kind of turns himself into a cyborg.
Okay, so now, wait a minute, hold on. That is awesome and fucked up and intricate, but now Wing sounded disgusted that the armor might come out of nanites and vibranium, which is an awesome MacGuffin or whatever you want to call it, but you were all like,
hold on,
but you were all like, ooh, when you heard Tony Stark's full armor with jet boots and blasters might come out of his bones and pores every time?
No, I was like, yuck.
Okay.
I think the thing of, okay, people are shooting at me, let me put on my helmet. I think that's a good point.
Cool. It is cool, because he's got to carry that around under his arm all the time.
So can he fucking keep it instead of like just taking it off to show me his reaction and then putting it back on? It bugged the fuck out of me by the end.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. He turns it off to say something.
They also had to set up the fight at the end where the vibranium dampeners affect their suits. And so their suits start to kind of like melt off of them. And I think I have mixed feelings about the fight scene at the end.
In the stabilized whatever train.
The Underground Railroad.
Yeah, the CGI part at the end.
Hell no.
Underground Railroad. You guys get that.
Yeah, right? I get that. It took a second to click, but then I realized what you said.
But no, I think that the fight could have been handled a little better and also more cool. Like, the best fights are the waterfall fights.
Yes, they are, by far.
And those have like very little CGI except for the background. So I think where this movie falls down a bit is in the battle type stuff, and then the fight at the end.
Hey, it's no Blade from the very first DVD. You've right. watched that final fight.
Yes. Yes. That's bad CGI.
Very but
I
bad.
Think, I singled out the fight on the Rainbow Bridge in, or the battle, I should say, on the Rainbow Bridge in Thor Ragnarok as being one of my favorite battle sequences, okay? And I thought, oh, maybe Black Panther is going to one up that because they're out on the plains. It's almost like Lord of the Rings. You could kind of do some cool stuff because they're fighting with swords.
They did have a rhino.
They did. They had a vibranium armored rhinoceros.
That is not a euphemism.
Which can stop on a dime if it recognizes someone it likes.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah,
it's still fun. I mean, come on.
I like the entire battle ends because his girlfriend says, "Nuh-uh, no way, knock this off." That's why the battle ends. He says,
"Oh yeah, that's true." He says,
"You wouldn't really kill me, would you?" And she says, "Try me." And he puts down his sword, and then everyone else puts down their weapon because they don't want to fuck with the Dora Milaje and Okoye.
They were battling her for a little while until she was like, "Oh, the trial's not over, and you're trying to fuck us up anyway." So, sorry, my allegiance is to the drone, not you. That was well set up, though. That was a nice scene.
It was good.
I want to see it again. Like, I just want them to stamp me a DVD and ship it here.
Yes. I wish I had squeezed in another showing before we recorded. I only saw it the once. But I've been listening to the soundtrack, like, on repeat. Both of them. There's two soundtracks. The score and the rap album that came out with it.
Kind of well-placed character, I love that the two white guys of the piece basically are one guy that are trying to exploit them and one guy that is trying to help them.
Well, one is Felix Leiter and one is Jaws. Instead of his teeth, it's his arm.
That's true, huh? Damn it.
Like, I'm like, okay, he's Felix Leiter and he's at Casino Royale. And Stanley comes up and takes the chips, and the other guy is basically the ringer. So he's coming in with his fake arm, making it rain.
Making it rain. It was Andy Serkis is killing it in this movie. He's having fun. He's just like singing.
He pulls crazy off.
I'm really sad that the plot demanded his death, and it did. Like, I mean, really that. When you think about what that represented, like his dead body was Killmonger's ticket in the door.
Yep.
But
it was Killmonger's ticket to have a whole clan of his own, basically.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
They could have found a way to bring him alive and say, "We're going to torture you."
No, because what's his face threatened to kill him or said, "I get to kill him," or it's his head, right?
T'Challa gave his word that he would bring Claw back, and he didn't.
Or dead. So, didn't he say one or the other?
Yeah, dead or alive. Yeah.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Yeah.
They could have found a way around both Big Death and this thing.
Well, I gotta say, the MCU has pulled its punches before. People die, but not really. And in this one, I think the two big bads stay dead. Which is fine, because if you look at the B team, everyone is also bad guys. So
they can
do stuff later on.
Oh, God. Poor guy.
I have to say that my favorite character is M'Baku, as played by Winston Duke. He shows up as a foil at the beginning. That's the first guy to challenge.
Okay, yep, okay.
Yes, they do the gorilla guy. They do the trial by combat.
I don't know, but what do you mean the gorilla guy?
Well, he shows up and he's got the gorilla mask on.
Oh,
and
he's like,
"Glory to Hanuman." And then they fight, and then he's like, "Yield," and he yields, and then he goes back to his, he goes back to his mountain palace.
Wasn't he the one that was barking at,
yes. Yeah.
You have no voice here. Martin Freeman.
Are you done? I will feed you to my children. Just kidding. We're vegetarians.
No way these dudes are vegetarians. Yeah. No way.
Well, they have fishermen. That's who found T'Challa. So they at least eat fish.
Well, some vegetarians are going to tell you that they can eat
fish. Pescatarians. Let's see. What else? What else did we love with this?
Honestly, the costumes, like, my girlfriend kept poking me going, holy shit.
Yeah, everything looks great.
Yes.
Yeah, the visuals are amazing. Like I said, the only place where I'm like, you is when they fall into the pit. What do you call that?
I believe it's
the Underground Railroad.
The Great Mound is the mine.
Yeah.
Where all the vibranium is.
Yeah, there's a whole sequence there that kind of suck, but the rest of the visual is.
Didn't one of you say that there's a stone in the mountain? Infinity Stone?
Well, okay, so the only stone we haven't seen is the Soul Stone for the Infinity Gauntlet. We know where all the other Infinity Stones are, right? One's in Vision's forehead, one Loki stole. I think we talked about this last week, right? So we don't know where the Soul Stone is. Now, the vibranium asteroid came from outer space. It seems to have imbued not only vibranium to Wakanda, but some sort of spiritual connection with the afterlife, aka the soul.
Yeah, and the plant and all that.
So I wonder if at the heart of the vibranium asteroid is the soul stone, like it's somehow connected. And I think, at least from the trailer for Infinity War, there's a big battle scene in Wakanda.
Oh, yep. What? Someone else pointed that out, too. I just
Wakanda
read something
is such
today.
A good commodity for them right now. It's like a place that everybody loves, and they can do mostly what they want with it because it's not a real city at the same time.
Right.
So they can destroy all half of it. And
yeah, but they also have wide expanses of, you know, plains.
Savannah.
Yeah, savannah, where they can just have these battles and not worry about buildings and shit that they got to destroy or recreate.
Yeah, we're going to be there a lot. That's one of the things we're not talking about, but the city is a character in this, and that's one of
really
the
cool.
T'Challa flying really into it for the first time when he goes, "These never gets old," and basically they crash through the mountain, and it just opens the music right there too, where they tie the music on those beats in when he first attacks that car at the train or whatever, the convoy of cars. All the musical beats in this work so well.
One of my complaints with these movies lately is there aren't that many great superhero themes, and this movie delivers a superhero theme for Black Panther that is really, really good. I would highly recommend checking out the score, the soundtrack by Ludwig Göransson. And it, like, the theme, you get it in, like, the tribal version, you get it in the electronica version. It's really, really good.
You asked me what I was expecting, more choice like that music, because that music is so good. And in the old movie, the music and the soundtrack, just perfect. And it's different when we don't hear that every two movies, you know. That was refreshing. I wanted more of that.
No, very, very good soundtrack. Like I said, I've been listening on repeat. So, connections to other MCU films, we talked about that a bit. Obviously, Bucky shows up at the end, armless.
I love that broken white boy line.
Yeah. they call him White Wolf, which is another Wakandan hero from the comics. The character of the White Wolf is adopted into the Wakandan royal family, and he becomes sometimes a good guy, sometimes a bad guy. And it seems like maybe that's an alternate persona they could set up for the Winter Soldier.
Kind of fit well with
his whole deal.
Already established character,
Right after that scene at the end of the movie, I shouted, "Who the hell is Bucky?" because that's the line from Winter Soldier. That was Bucky. Good.
That was
the other credit stinger we get is the we talked about it, the UN scene.
They reveal to the world.
Yep. Kind of. They kind of reveal, but I think they're still going to play. I don't think they're just going to automatically open their borders and give away their technology. I think it's going to be kind of a little bit at a time.
Yeah, we'll help you, but you don't get all of it.
If you've seen at the end, there's a last Easter egg, which in reference to the James Bond movie, is that one of the last credit is Black Panther will return.
Yeah,
in Avengers Infinity War. Yep. I love that. I really love that.
Stanley cameo. I didn't get it until someone explained it for me. Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Set me straight on what this cameo represents. Did you guys figure it out?
No.
No.
Okay, what does he do?
He steals the money.
He steals the chips, right?
Yeah.
Stan Lee comes up, steals the credits.
Oof.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Explain that. Do you want to explain that?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
So Stan Lee, sort of notorious for taking credit for characters created by other people in comics.
Ish.
So he comes up, notices the guy walked away. He's like, I'll keep an eye on these for you. I'll just put these over here.
I think you're reaching.
Okay. Anyway, that was how Haley explained it.
I think she's reaching.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, so do you think it was a good Stan Lee cameo or not?
Yes, I love it.
All right.
Yeah, I like that equally with the like Ragnarok one with the hair.
Okay,
with
the guy cuts the hair. Yep. Some the old man.
Guardians of the Galaxy is the best though.
That and Tony Stank. I really really love Tony Stank.
Tony Stank was good. Yes. One of the best was in the Amazing Spider-Man. Well, that was it. Yeah, the first Amazing Spider-Man. He was like listening to music in a school.
In the library. Yeah, exactly. The
books, yeah, I know this one's gonna be forgotten, but that was a very good one. That and the one where he's with Lou Ferrigno as a security guard.
Yeah. Yep. So that time I was a FedEx delivery guy. This time I was in a casino. He is Uatu the Watcher, I guess.
Yeah, it's funny.
Let's see. Infinity War preview. I think we covered pretty much what this sets up. Obviously, I kind of expected to see Captain America somewhere in here because they imply that he seeks refuge in Wakanda.
Yeah, me too. But, or maybe left for.
I mean, we know he left and went to the raft to break out. Hawkeye and Ant-Man and Falcon.
And he comes back with a beard.
He comes back
with a black suit.
He is, he's growing his beard currently.
Thank God they don't have to CGI that out.
Oops. Like a mustache.
Ooh. Right.
Oh, God.
Okay. How would you rate this overall in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Out of the 18 movies in the MCU,
there's 18.
Yeah, and there's going to be 19. There's going to be 20 by the end of the year. So,
goddess,
where would you place this?
I'd put it in the top handful. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't know about the rewatchability. I'm sure it'll have some, but again, these are all like they are all kind of becoming formulaic. They're still fun. This one was different, but it's.
Yeah.
I mean, this is somewhere in the top, I'd say, 5 or 6.
Right.
Just because it's so super fresh and it's completely different while being so the same.
Yeah.
I could not say it better. That's it. That's exactly it. Thank you.
I would say that because it's the first movie, it doesn't have the plot twistiness of, say, Captain America the Winter Soldier. It doesn't have the complete off-the-wall humor of a Guardians of the Galaxy or Thor Ragnarok. It kind of sits for me around Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, Spider-Man Homecoming. Doctor Strange, I actually liked a lot more than I thought I would, so it kind of sits around there. Definitely better than Ant-Man, Iron Man 2.
That's our best origin story.
What?
I think that's Black Panther.
I think
that's
your best, quote-unquote, right.
Origin story.
I think it benefits from the fact that it's not an origin story. We already were already introduced to the character in Civil War. We already knew about Ulysses Klaue. We've kind of got a concept of what vibranium is. It really didn't have to go too far into the history of Wakanda and what everything means.
But my mom doesn't care about that. She doesn't know that, and she still loved the movie. So, you know.
Yeah. Did you catch at the beginning? It's not T'Chaka talking to T'Challa. It's Killmonger's father talking to him about what Wakanda is. He's telling the bedtime story.
Yeah, the kid has no accent.
Poor guy.
He has an American accent. So
I'm going to burn it all.
Yeah, somebody's going to have saved that. He's not
like all my scars. Speaking of scar, there is a lot of similarities between this and Lion King, but I won't.
Don't get new.
We'll go too far into it. All right. Anything else we want to throw in about Black Panther before we rate it and then talk about how much dang money it's made? It's made so much money.
I'm good, I think. I don't got no more notes.
My favorite scene is still the casino scene and the pursuit that follows with the girl that's in the car, but that's not in the car. And
they're so precious about their vibranium, and yet they're just like leaving spears and stuff in the street.
Yeah, but she's laughing at his gun, and she just threw a spear that goes through. It goes through the back window, then the front window, then Pike in the asphalt, and that's what stopped the car.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
It's pretty cool.
No, that's really fucking awesome.
Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah, that's my scene, that old James Bond scene.
I love her so much.
My favorite scene.
I knew you were going to like that part of the movie, so I was like, okay, Wing is going to love this. I knew Beef, probably your favorite part was the battle at the end.
No, the rhino was fun and stuff. I really did like the casino, the stuff Wing's talking about, because, like I said, I love Danny Gudetta. She's so fun, and I think I cannot pronounce her name, but I try to every time. Yeah,
you make it sound authentic. Yeah. I think that works.
Yeah.
I like the waterfall fight, the ritual combat. I think ritual combat is actually really cool and a good way to choose our next leader.
And I like how they make him drain his, drink the thing to drain your power.
So Chekhov's Black Panther draining ability. So I assumed that we would see that come into play later in the film, like a third act kind of thing. And my impression of how they were going to defeat Killmonger was, and I put this together while I was watching the movie. So they're going to go on the train track where there's the vibranium dampening thing, and that's going to neutralize his suit. And then T'Challa is going to have in his claws, he's going to have that serum.
The juice.
He's going to have the juice that takes away Killmonger's Black Panther powers. And then he's just going to straight kick his ass, no suit, kind of like Neo in the Matrix, and just be like, you're nothing. And I thought they were going to lock him up and keep him around to be the new Loki, but obviously he didn't make it.
Yeah, until they remake the universe. I mean, he's very close to Infinity War, so it's...
Well, he has to come back as Human Torch, so...
Oh, that would be awesome. they're making a Silver Surfer movie, so who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows, but yeah, it's... They got that recipe to a T in this one, and it was so fresh to well, not see what the same eight cities that I'm used to seeing, the same eight people weren't used to see. And we've seen the White Gary version of all the version of the superheroes, right. And they did that one like...
I mean, a lot of similarities here to Thor Ragnarok. So the main character finds out that his father wasn't the man he thought he was. He loses his source of his power, or what he thinks is the source of his power. He has to deal with a usurper to the throne.
So the same thing as Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Okay.
Also potentially true.
Okay. So they gave us the same movie 3 times this year.
Yeah, and they tricked us into thinking it was new shit.
Yeah, but I think this one is
we bought it. We freaking bought tickets to this movie.
Yeah, I think this one is the best attempt at this, though.
Yeah, the best. Yeah. The best take on the formula. All right.
Let's rate that motherfucker.
It's challenge day.
Wing for Black Panther. Are you going legendary?
Hail to the king.
Legend of its time.
Wakanda forever.
Cult legend.
All glory to Bast.
Awesome.
Bugatti spaceship.
Entertaining.
And unlike that Captain America movie, this actually has a civil war in it.
Mabel.
It's a third world country. Textiles, shepherds, cool outfits.
Forgettable.
Declawed.
Abysmal.
The Great Mound.
Spring Breakers, Highlander, D&D.
Catwoman.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle barf, tears.
With a side of Afrofuturism and Mandels.
Okay. This movie is awesome, but... with everything that's happening around it and the fact that it's basically the first time finally that they go there, this shouldn't be legendary.
By they go there, what do you mean?
The fact that the entire cast is black.
Yeah.
And it was about time.
It's a big deal. And I mean, the entire...
How many movies before
the writer,
you said?
The director, 18. This is the 18th
this is
iteration.
The 18th. It took 17 movies before... they made one with like a mainly African cast. Come on.
Still haven't even made one with a woman.
Yeah. True. Yeah. So, but the fact that people, I always say that people don't support what they say in movies. They say, oh, we have enough to see sequels and blah, blah, blah. But all they go see is sequels and blah, blah, blah. This is people in the last year voting with their money. They vote for Wonder Woman. They vote for that. It we're getting to show that people are ready to see something else and give you the cash that you are so afraid you're not going to make. So we're living a great shift in movie making history. So
absolutely.
Yeah, this is going to be a legend. This is a legendary
hail
moment.
To the king.
Yeah. Hail to the king. Beef?
Oh, shit. Now you make me try to follow suit or something.
You ask the question to me first every week, so...
No, I know, I know, but I can't. It's Hamana. I'm going to go solidly... Oh, shizzle. I'm going to go awesome. Yeah, Bugatti spaceship.
Oh, okay.
It is all of those things you said. It is will be known for being this large cultural event, but on the purely movie standpoint, I think it was awesome. I had a lot of fun with it, and I will watch it again many, many times over, just if not for nothing else than the fight scenes and the sets and other than, you know, the great acting and the dialogue and the hot chick guard and all that shit. So, yeah.
Everybody acted their ass off in this, huh?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Absolutely. And at work, though. Everybody, it's, oh, shit, and Suri, God, I love her. So, anyways, yes, awesome. Super awesome.
Wow. Yeah. All right, so I am going to go Wakanda Forever, legend of its time. I think that this is going to stand out as one of the biggest moments in film, probably of this decade. Obviously, the box office is... phenomenal. The buzz around this film is phenomenal. And I think this is a paradigm shift in filmmaking. I think Wonder Woman opened the door a crack and probably gave Marvel the... Obviously, Marvel had had this movie in production for a while. It was going to be a thing. But I think gave them the backbone to put the marketing in. And the amount of money that this movie has made... Like, I can't even... Like, this movie has been out a week and a half, right? And it has made...
$727 million.
Enough money to be the third highest grossing film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in 2 weeks. So where this film goes from here, I don't even know. It may, when all is said and done, pass The Avengers as the highest grossing film in the MCU. And I think what
how works, much did The Avenger made?
We'll talk about box office in a second. I have all the numbers ready to go. I think what works about this movie is that it dials back the MCU-ness and just tells the story. And it tells really a very straightforward story. You can't even say that there are plot twists because the characters that you meet as grown-ups, you realize you saw in the first scene. So that's not really a twist, right? It's just saying, okay, this is this person grown up now. And I think it creates this, I don't even know, this palette, this way that you can tell these stories that you don't have to tell with all white people. You don't have to tell with the same sort of ideas that you've done before. I think this movie looks at a very revolutionary mindset, and obviously that's represented by Killmonger, and says, okay, that's like his heart's in the right place, but the methods are wrong. So how do we balance that? I think at the end of the movie, we get a T'Challa that's ready to embrace the wider world and play a part on a larger stage. And that comes perfectly timed with a world-threatening crisis that we're going to have in Infinity War. So while I don't think there's not a lot of overt MCU connections in this film, I think thematically this is the exact film that you want to lead into the big crisis, the end of Phase 3 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because it's dealing with these morality issues in that way. So I think that's really neat how they timed it. So yeah, Wakanda Forever for me.
All right. Well, you both aren't wrong, and now I feel like an ass. So nope, yeah, last fine. Word on you're Black good. Panther, Talk fellas.
Wing.
Meow.
Meow.
As of recording, $727.9 million, and it keeps going.
That's a lot. I'm going to say this course. It's really uncomfortable. Can we just wrap this up? Okay. Box office. And what time is it?
News time.
All right. So through Monday, the 26th of February, Black Panther has earned estimated global box office of $727 million. It booked the second largest grossing second weekend of all time, and it joins Jurassic World in making $400 million domestic in just 10 days.
Do you know what it was behind for that second largest weekend? Second weekend of all time?
Was the Force Awakens?
Okay. Don't yell at me.
Now it's in between two Star Wars.
Yeah. And so as I said, the total domestic gross for Marvel's The Avengers is $623 million. Black Panther in 2 weeks has made $411 million domestic. So there's a very, very good chance that we're going to see the total box office run of Black Panther be the largest domestic gross for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And again, it has until Infinity War to do that, and I think then Infinity War is going to come out and blow Black Panther's numbers out of the water. But that's just my prediction.
It's doing well for Rain, though.
It's doing very well overseas, yeah.
Yeah. That has the potential to make 1.2, 1.4.
Yep.
There's nothing in front, and the buzz on Wrinkle in Time is that it's not really good, so it's just going to crush through that.
Well, I think what's kind of interesting is if you look at the next month or so in cinema, you've got Alicia Vikander in Tomb Raider, Storm Reid, Wrinkle in Time, John Boyega in Pacific Rim, and Jennifer Lawrence in Red Sparrow. So you've got films that are either led by women, black actors, or black women. So up until Ready Player One, that's the next big budget movie that has a white male lead.
Okay, let's not be happy and do a cut of Black Panther where we remove all the black people.
Yeah, so that leaves two people.
One scene.
That one Asian lady who lets them into the nightclub and Stan Lee.
Yeah, that's mostly.
It. That's it. That's all. That's the movie. Good night.
Good night.
And then stay till the end of the credits and you get Bucky talking to himself.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously the box office on this is insane. I don't know. I mean, I think really you can say this is pent up demand. You can say that this is a kind of a once in a lifetime thing. I hope that it's not. I hope that this is a wake up call to Hollywood. And I think if you put this up against what was a fairly lackluster couple of years overall at the box office, I think Hollywood goes, oh, these movies do make money. We should make more of them.
Hey, wow. When people identify to a character, they tend to buy more tickets. It helps when your movie's good. So that's
It also helps something. that this was the best rated Rotten Tomatoes score for a Marvel film. It was an A+ cinema score rating. Those are all metrics that indicate success.
Yeah, at this point, I think this... I'm just talking about the Black Panther franchise and not the Marvel franchise, because I see Avengers still as a different beast than these kind of movies. This is rare what we're seeing, but I think the Black Panther franchise is going into the Fast and Furious direction box office-wise. But they did it right out of the gate instead of after the fifth one, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's telling that we already know from the trailer that Black Panther will figure into Infinity War, because somebody has to tell us, get that Man of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep. I'm almost excited for Infinity War now.
Yeah. No. Like, honestly, if you had said to me, what's going to be the best performing Marvel movie of 2018, I would have said Infinity War. And I also kind of said, I think we can go back 3 or 4 weeks, that Black Panther was going to do crazy numbers at the box office and maybe set some records. So I think that's, I'm on recording as saying that.
I thought I was overshooting with 125 million first weekend. It did 108 in the second.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
yeah.
Okay. New stuff.
Hey, Kevin Smith's alive.
Yeah, he is.
Still.
Okay, so did you guys know about this when it happened, or?
Yeah.
Okay,
My phone lit up like a Christmas tree.
Did he call you?
Yeah, of course. Okay. No, but for some reason, like, I listened to a couple of his podcasts, and you know these new Google phone, they know what you like, so
yes,
it basically pushed that on you right away.
They're like, yeah. Oh no. So Kevin Smith had a heart attack while filming a special, and he did a 7 o'clock show and a 9 o'clock show, and in between he had the heart attack. So He went right to the hospital and is going to be okay, we think.
Oh, that sucks. At least he'll be okay, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yes. Fingers crossed. Hopefully this will lead to a healthier, longer
lifestyle.
A longer lived Kevin Smith.
Yeah. He's a fun guy. Who's going to make our giant Dusk movie or
Yoga Hosers?
Yeah. Stupid crap that you can't believe. Is that a sausage Nazi? Yes, it is.
It's, I still haven't watched that. I need to watch that.
God, yes. The sausage Nazi is something. Okay.
Okay. Gemma Chan joins Brie Larson and Captain Marvel.
You also have
Captain Marvel still coming up. Let's check the release date for Captain Marvel. It will be March 8th of 2019, so about a year from now, we'll get Captain Marvel, the movie. It will become the 21st movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the first with a female lead.
Better late than never.
Better late than never. That's what we always say. I mean, obviously, I think it worked for Black Panther. They waited until they did it right. I think that they did a good job.
Yeah, and I think that whatever that Joss Whedon quote was bullshit, and the studio basically got a new CEO that's a woman and was like, why do we have our Batgirl movie directed by a man?
Yes.
I think that's what happened. That's the real thing.
Joss Whedon won't be doing a Batgirl movie for DC, and he'll probably come back to Marvel and do something else.
Yeah, because it took, what, 24 hours after the new CEO took place?
Yeah.
And he was out.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, great. And then the next day, there was like people on Twitter saying like, oh, I could write it, like writer of the comic book and actual writers, which is kind of cute. And yes. She picked one and gave her email address on Twitter.
Oh.
That's weird.
Yep.
So who's going to write it?
Who knows? Probably some penis enlargement ad is going to get a contract.
Yeah. If I know Warner up for a bunch of spam.
Yeah.
Okay. Deadpool, an X-Men spinoff movie, X-Force, reportedly is going to start shooting later this year. So I think
strike while the iron's hot. I mean,
yes. And yeah. I think that is strike before Disney buys your company and cancels all your projects.
Yep. Yep, they're showing that they have value right now.
True.
Jurassic World 3 will hit theaters in June 2021.
Let's see if Doom makes money before they cancel it, you know?
Now, why are they doing that?
I think 2 is going to be fine. I think they're confident that 2 is good.
Do you want the real reason why they do that? Because the movie's coming out at X number of weeks, and they don't have any ad or anything that they can release this week. So they say this, and it gives them like a moment in the spotlight so people remember, the second one coming. It must be good, because they already greenlighted the third one.
Yeah.
I want my Looper trilogy still.
And yeah, that guy's writing a Star Wars trilogy, so wait until we get our good movies. Then you can have him back.
Fine.
All right. And Sicario 2 director tapped to helm a Call of Duty movie.
Movie, so a war movie. Okay.
I mean, we already said that Sicario 1 had a pretty cool video game sequence. So.
Yeah, kind of in that tension and that feeling. Sure, yeah. Why not?
We have one trailer this week, one alone, Lost in Space.
This is the lamest trailer.
But I believe we talked about Lost in Space, the film, many months ago.
Yeah, we did. That's why I remember the music. I love that they brought back some cues from the original music. But yeah, the trailer is kind of lame.
They're just walking in their spacesuits. Like, come on.
So is Parker Posey Dr. Smith? Is that?
I think so.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, why not?
I like her.
She's a great actress.
Yeah, she's good. It's good.
Anything with Parker Posey. Come on.
Yeah. That is news.
Well, next time on Legends Podcast, Duncan Jones is mute.
We're going to check why they sold that to Netflix. I don't understand.
Yeah. So, interestingly enough, we didn't talk about a flop alert, but Annihilation did not do well.
I've heard it's a really good movie, though, and I think it's good on Rotten Tomatoes.
Movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a difficult movie.
I heard that if you can see it in theater, which I'm probably going to try to go through the experience, but the other thing that didn't help the box office, look at how many theater it was released. It's a limited release. So
they also, Netflix bought the rights to the international release. So in everywhere but our 50 states and presumably Canada, you can just watch it on Netflix.
To what?
Kind of what they did with Cloverfield.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Annihilation.
No way.
Yep. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, the director is pissed.
So they sold that one to Netflix in basically everywhere but the states and said, just have it.
It's too hard sci-fi. That's what I've heard. And that's why they're afraid that it's not going to... Well, it's not playing, basically.
Well, I still want to see it.
It probably just doesn't have the fun factor of Ex Machina.
I mean, I still want to see it.
Ex Machina was hard sci-fi, but it had a fun factor. Like, it was fun to watch. There was dancing.
It's not like you guys are going to get turned away from it because it's hard sci-fi.
No, that's the inverse. I want to see it in theater now.
Yeah, I mean, I'll see it in theater, and then when I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Then I'll watch it again, hopefully, when it comes to Netflix near me.
Yeah.
In 3 weeks.
But speaking of hard sci-fi, we're going to try out Duncan Jones's Mute on Netflix. Basically, we're continuing to feed the troll. So, basically, for like the next 4 weeks.
Netflix is my cable now, so be nice.
It's fine. It's fine. They should sponsor our podcast.
Yeah, sure.
They should give
us some kickbacks.
To be equal, we do have like some Prime, some Hulus, all that.
New releases in the theater. What do you think the next new theater release we'll talk about is? Infinity War or Ready Player One?
I want to see Ready Player One. I would love to talk about that. What else coming in the next?
If Red Sparrow's got good reviews, I say we talk about that.
Okay.
Tomb Raider? The first one's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, we should do Tomb Raider Classic.
I would love that.
And what about
the Tomb Raider trilogy?
For Ready Player One, are there any video game movies we could talk about?
We have a list, I think, still.
We have a whole month of video game movies.
No.
Go back and listen to Canuary. Starring Jeremy Irons.
We'll think about that next month or next year. This has been episode 362 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying run now.
I'm John D saying I don't know. Yeah, good night.
I'm Lobster saying Trial by Combat is definitely the way we need to go next election cycle.
Who?
That's how you get Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay? Relax.
No, we'd end up with Van Damme or something.
We'll be fine.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, GunnaGeek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.